to the United States now, and the U.S. House of Representatives has approved billions of dollars in military aid for Ukraine. The support was described as vital by the Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky. In addition to the $61 billion for Ukraine, there was also a $34 billion package of aid for Israel and Taiwan. Our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, is on the line now. And Sean, this deal was pushed over the line by the Republican Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, but there was fierce resistance to it. How did he do it?
He did it by enlisting the help of the opposition, for want of a better term, the Democrat Party, in order to get enough votes to get this measure over the line. There has been, as you say, a lot of opposition within the Republican Party to aid for Ukraine, or the form of aid to Ukraine. Donald Trump had been saying to them for a long time, this should be done in the form of a loan, not grants or direct aid given to Ukraine, and that there should be measures taken and money spent on securing the southern border of the United States before they start spending money on overseas aid. And all of that had built up cumulatively over months, indeed the 2 years of this Ukraine war. Mike Johnson himself had been trenchant in his criticisms of spending money on Ukraine and had voted against every previous Ukraine funding bill. But he came up against the weight of history, as he put it himself, but also against the weight of the US political establishment, military establishment, diplomatic establishment, and all international leaders. Every, certainly European leader who has been through this town over the past 6 months has buttonholed Johnson and said, please get this bill across the line. So eventually he did, and the catalyst for it was that Iranian drone and missile attack against Israel, because that made an opening that was very hard for a party that has traditionally supported Israel to resist. And so it enabled Johnson to finally make this move. It gave him, if you like, the political excuse, though he has put his own speakership on the line. There's no doubt about
yes.
that.
And the money itself then, Sean, how will it be used? And crucially, when will it start to flow?
Well, it still has to go back to the Senate. That should be almost a formality. We'd anticipated that the Senate might meet today. Chuck Schumer, the Democrat who has the majority leadership there, has said Tuesday afternoon they'll take it. There is still some reconciliation to be done between the two bills. The Senate had, back in February, passed its own funding bill by 70 to 29. Again, a rump of Republicans voting with the Democrats, led by the minority leader Chuck Mitch McConnell in that upper house, defying Donald Trump, defying the right wing, the non-interventionist wing of his own party to push that through. But again, there's reconciliation figures, particularly on around the Israel aid, because the Senate bill provided $9 billion for humanitarian relief and then $14 billion for military aid for Israel. The House bill just says $26 billion for Israel, no specification on how it should be spent. So that issue is going to have to be teased out over the coming days before the bill is signed by President Biden. Then immediately aid will start flowing. Okay. The US has stockpiles in Germany, and that will be put on trains and sent straight to Ukraine.
And you mentioned, Sean, that former President Donald Trump intervened and gave his tuppence worth in relation to aid for Ukraine as well, suggesting that it should be a loan rather than aid. He is back in court in New York tomorrow for his criminal trial on charges of campaign finance fraud. And he's going to have to sit there in silence until the trial is over. What can we expect over the next couple of weeks of that trial?
I'm not sure we can expect an entire silence from Donald Trump. The trial is the campaign for Donald Trump. I mean, he moans about being taken off the campaign trail, though in truth, he doesn't really spend a lot of time on the campaign trail. And he'll have Wednesdays and Saturdays free to do campaigning if he chooses to do that. But by being in New York, he can come in and out of the courtroom and make statements as he did in his previous trials. In terms of what we can expect tomorrow, it's the opening statements in the trial. This is important because this is the framing of the trial. It's the tell them what you're going to say part of the old trio of tell them what you're going to say, say it, and then tell them what you've said. So that's when the prosecution will set out what its charges are going to be and how it's going to conduct the trial. And Trump's defense will make its counter arguments tomorrow. Won't give the whole game away, but a lot of what we're going to hear over the coming weeks is going to be set out tomorrow. So it is important to pay attention to that bit.
And we will. Thank you very much, Sean Whelan, our Washington correspondent. We'll take a break. We're back with more after this.